You have dwelled long enough on this mountain, he said, and down the dark, painful valley road, my shepherd led. Where the storms fierce assail, and I clung to his side, and it was in my darkest valley I learned in him to abide. I know God is good all the time, so I can choose to worship when I'm tempted to whine. Almighty grace will still amaze, will find his power through his praise beyond my storm. His sun still shines. God is good all the time. God is good. He never could become anything else. He's simply using each trial to draw me unto himself. I can't despair because God's will and mine do not agree. Just trust the hand of the potter to form his image in me. I know God is good all the time, so I can choose to worship when I'm tempted to whine. Almighty grace will still amaze, will find his power through his praise beyond my storm. His sun still shines. God is good all the time. Now I've seen God working all things together for my good, fully keeping each promise just like he said he would. Faith is claiming the substance of victories yet unseen, through evil meant to me by others, his goodness still reigns supreme. I know God is good all the time, so I can choose to worship when I'm tempted to whine. Almighty grace will still amaze, will find his power through his praise beyond my storm. His sun still shines. God is good all the time.
My heart has been full the last few days, and boy, I thank God for this meeting, and man, the messages, I just cannot say enough. It's an honor to be here, And after hearing all the messages, it just makes you just, man, let somebody else preach. I just want to hear what they have to say. I remember years ago, my dad, our church, the Roloff home, would come through and they'd have a singing group and they'd have the girls stay there and I'd be out of town. And Brother Roloff said, hey, he found out that I was a preacher boy. And he said that one day if you're down in Georgia, he said, won't you come down to the City of Refuge and I'll let your son preach. And I'll never forget that. I was all excited. And out of all things, Brother Roloff was in the service when I was supposed to preach. And you're talking about nervous, man. I was 15 years old. And man, I was so nervous. And I mean, he was there. And he had preached just before I was to preach. And he preached through the whole book of Jeremiah before I got up and preached. And they had a tape player and they're recording his message for the radio. And the power went off or something and he just stopped. And it kicked back on and he just took on right where he left off like nothing ever happened. And man, oh man, so I was up there to preach and I remember I was so intimidated. And I did the best I could. I got done. The Lord blessed. I remember riding home with my dad. And I said, Dad, I'll never do that again. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you know, today, I said, I felt like I was preaching for Brother Roloff. I said, I'm just going to rear back and preach because I'm doing it for Jesus. And I'll never forget that. But, man, I tell you what, it has been so good. I'm a nobody, but I thank God for His book. And if God's called you to preach, you preach with that authority that God has given you. Amen. And but thank you so much, Brother Angel and Brother Coral, for the privilege to be able to be here and for the kindness and then also the room. And I know the sacrifice that goes into making a meeting like this possible. And never underestimate what God's going to do at a meeting like this. You never have any idea. I remember years ago, I think it was 1978, I never heard of any of these guys who went to a conference. It was an old Sword of the Lord conference in Cobo Hall. I never heard any of those speakers. And we had just gone to Rochester Hills. On Sunday night, we're going to go hear this guy named Hiles. I never heard of him. And I'll never forget, as I sat way in that auditorium, thousands of people there. That's back when they bring busloads of people to meetings. And man, I remember sitting there, and he got up, and is there a hell? And, man, I mean, he preached his heart out. And, man, I was weeping over my grandfather not being saved. And there's a guy in our church, my high school history teacher. And I said, man, I wish I could go to that meeting. And my dad was working. Nobody could take me down there. And my Christian school teacher, he said, Andy, if you'd like to go, he said, I'll take you. And folks said, that'd be fine. And every day he drove me down there. And I sat and I listened to all those preachers all that week. I still got that little notebook. I wrote notes. It's just amazing. You know, I sat back. I was just a 14, 15-year-old boy. And man, God just would burn in my heart. I heard John O'Rice preach. I heard, that's back when Jerry Falwell was in that group. Jack Van Impe was in that group. I heard them all. And man, I sat there. Man, my heart was so full and God was just burning in my soul. And I'll never forget that. Last night after the meeting, I was just thanking the Lord. I said, dear God, thank you so much that you still speak to our hearts like you did back then. Aren't you glad those days aren't over? That God can still meet in a service and He can still stir your soul. And man, I thank God for that. I know something was said about that thing. I kind of relate to a little bit about sometimes you get fed up with folks and you just want to take them out of this life. And I was reading where a couple, they were working on it in marriage and they're fussing all the time. And the husband was mad and he noticed his wife was a little sweeter. She had gone to some kind of anger management class at the church. And he looked over and said, man, I'm so mad at you, but you never fight back. And how do you control your anger? She said, well, I just go clean the toilet. And he said, well, how does that help? She said, I use your toothbrush. And so anyway, sometimes there's more than one way to not lose your temper. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 28, if you would. Let's all stand, if we would, to give honor to God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 28. I'll share some things that are on my heart. This is not an old message. This is a new message the Lord gave me. And I had another one I planned on preaching, but the Lord wouldn't let me do that. And so I'm going to share this with you this morning. Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 1. And it came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hanani, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, and I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hanani, in the presence of the priest, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. And the Lord do so. The Lord perform the words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall that prophet be known, and the Lord truly sent him. Then Hanani the prophet took the yoke from off prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hanani spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hanani the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hanani, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they may serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hanani the prophet, Hear now, Hanani, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth, and this year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hanani the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now my text, if you would, if you'll look down to verse 8, it said, The prophets that have been before me, Jeremiah said, before thee of old, prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. You have this Joel Osteen of their day that gets up and said Babylonian captivity is only going to be for 2 years. And Jeremiah's pointing out, I know what I say may sound negative, but I want you to know the prophets of old, they preach just like I've been preaching to you. And that's what he was sharing. And if I were to title the message this morning, it would be, Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease? Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease? Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd please bless. Lord, I thank you for speaking to my heart, and I pray you speak to the heart of everyone here like you spoke to my heart in the hotel room. Lord, please fill me with thy power. I ask once again that I be used to be a blessing. Lord, I'm not asking that, Lord, that I would try to impress anybody. Dear Lord, anything that needs to be said, dear God, may I proclaim it. And Lord, I certainly don't want to say anything you would not have me to say. Father, please meet with us. Thank you for what you've already done today in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Again, Jeremiah points out that the prophets that had been before, they had done what he had done. And here we find this Hanani, and he takes the yoke. Not only does he get up and say it's only going to be 2 years, he takes the yoke off of Jeremiah in the presence of all the people, and he gets up and he preaches these words of ease. And of course, the people, they were glad to hear what he had to say. But because of what he had to say, God said to Jeremiah, he may have taken the yoke of wood off, but God said because of what he said, it's actually going to cause a worse condition on the people. He's making them trust in a lie. God told them that what would happen, God would cast him from the face of the earth, and then we find that Hanani would die. Now, to get the whole picture, when you go back to the previous chapter, in chapter 27, you find that God had already told Jeremiah that his people would go into captivity. Babylon was going to be the judgment of God. If you'll go back to chapters 27 and verse 1, and just follow this, and we'll let the Word of God speak. The Bible said, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them on thy neck. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this yoke that was taken off of Jeremiah, and Hanani broke it and said that God's going to break this bondage in 2 years. This is what God had already told Jeremiah to do. And he told Jeremiah to send them, that's talking about these yokes, to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and the king of Zidon, and by the hand of the messengers which came to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, the king of Judah. Now, if they were, and stay with me on this, if Jeremiah was told by God, if his people would try to avoid the judgment of God, then what would happen? God would give them worse than what was going to take place. In other words, there were going to be pestilence. If you'll notice in verse 8, it says, And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom that will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish. Now, if you'll study the scripture, you'll find that Daniel was told about this Babylonian captivity, and Jeremiah was told about it, others were told about it, and here's a guy saying it's not going to happen. And God said right here, God had told them that you're going to go under this captivity, there's going to be judgment, and there's no way that you can sow to sin without reaping corruption. There's no way that you can sow to the flesh without having the judgment of God. I know sometimes we find parents, if their kids will repent, what they'll do is there'll be no consequence for their action. And the Bible said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and those that fear God, they depart from evil. Now, I do believe if somebody's honest and they get right, the consequences may be a little lighter than what they previously were going to be. But if there's no consequence for the action, there's no fear of God, and they go back to the same thing. And ladies and gentlemen, God is not going to let us get away with what has happened in our country. There's no way. I mean, there's no way. I still believe God is our hope. But there's no way that we're going to get away with what has happened in our country. There's just no way. As a matter of fact, he's been awful long-suffering. It's been a number of years. I've heard years ago preachers saying that the judgment of God is going to come on our land. And God's been very long-suffering. But if you'll notice there in verse 8, he said, The nation that will not take the yoke of the king of Babylon, saith the Lord, with a sword and with a famine and with pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. And then it says, Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets. In other words, don't listen to these false prophets. Stop listening to the TV preachers. Stop listening to the liberals and even some of the liberal independent Baptists. He said in verse 10, For they prophesy a lie unto you. Now, I know, listen, I know we got to have balance. The Bible said, Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But he did say reprove and rebuke. Then he also said that comfort, exhort with all, long suffering and doctrine. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to have the wound cleaned out before we have God bless America. I mean, you don't just take a wound and just sew it back together. It's got to be cleaned out. And God's not going to, we preach it all the time. I mean, we look at folks coming in. God, you don't add Jesus to the life of a sodomite. You don't add Jesus to the life of fornication and adultery. You turn from your sin and you turn to God. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't add God's blessing to the mess that we've been participating in. We've got to turn from what we've been participating in. And we go to God and we ask Him for mercy. I mean, we're not in a place to say, God, this is what you better do. I'm going to make a deal with you. We're not in that position. I remember one time going to the court, I had got a speeding ticket. You can't win the world to Christ going 55 miles an hour. And I went to the court, and I was standing there. Some fellow was let out of jail for a number of offenses. He's standing up and giving all the excuses of why it happened. And the judge looked at him and said, I appreciate that, but that don't do you any good right now. In other words, you're not in a position to tell me how things ought to be. What you ought to be asking for is mercy. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. America is getting what she deserves. I mean, she really is. She's getting what she deserves. And I'm not saying just say, oh, forget it. What will be. But what we ought to be doing is saying, oh, God, have mercy. I know this. If I have a child that is wayward, I say, dear God, I pray that you will convict them, make them miserable. I mean, make their life a wreck, dear Lord. But God, while you're doing it, please have mercy. I don't want to see anything super bad happen. I don't want to see them go to the hospital. I don't want to see them in a car accident. I say, God, have mercy. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God is a God of love. He's a God of long suffering. But there comes a time when God says, enough is enough. We read in verse 13 of chapter 27, he said, why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword and the famine and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Now, ladies and gentlemen, he was telling them that judgment was coming. In other words, take your punishment. And later on, he'll tell them what to do in it. But take your punishment. You've done wrong. Own up to it. It's amazing the people that want to get right with God, but they don't want to face the consequences. It's sort of like, you know, I'm sorry for it, so you ought to just go ahead and listen. If you stole something, pay it back. Amen? I mean, if you've done something wrong, there ought to be restitution. Even Zacchaeus, when he got saved, I mean, he restored fourfold. And he said he'll restore fourfold if it was just a false accusation. Hello? And it may just because somebody said, well, I'm sorry, so that means I'm out of it. It doesn't work that way. When I read in Isaiah chapter 5, the Bible talks about, many of you preached on it, preaches about hell hath enlarged herself. And we preach about those that die without Christ going to hell. But you read that chapter, the beginning of it, and God is talking about His nation. He's talking about Israel. And He talks about His people. And He said that I've worked with you. He said, I've tried to help you. He said, what more could I do? And then he said, because of this, he said, the wall's coming down. The hedge is coming down. He said, no more protection. I no longer will prune you. I will no longer dig around you. He said, you just go ahead and be taken over by the thorns and the briars. He said, there'll be no rain. The land is going to be desolate. It used to bear harvest. Now it's going to bring forth little. And he said, woe unto you that drown yourself in your wine and your feasts, and you regard not the work of the Lord, and neither consider the operation of His hands. And then he goes on to say, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. You ever hear the statement, a nation going to hell in a handbasket? Well, basically, that's what was happening to Israel. You say, well, Israel was not a nation yet. But the Bible said in verse 7, it said in Isaiah 5, and time would not permit me to go through all the depth of it, but he did say the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah His pleasant plant. In Deuteronomy 4:7, it said, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? And he was talking about His people. And the Bible said in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's what the Bible said. Folks, just because we're America don't mean we're exempt. Amen? I read in Psalm 7, verse 11, God is judges the righteous. He's angry with the wicked every day. I mean, you're talking about the shedding of innocent blood and the adultery and the fornication and women with women working that which is unseemly and the life of the sodomite and the drunkenness. And even God is angry with a lukewarm church in Revelation chapter 3. God said in Psalm 50 verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. That's the God that I read of in the Bible. In Job 8:13, he said, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. God said in Deuteronomy 29, he said, even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of His great anger? And the men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord of their fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm just one voice, and every preacher in this room is one voice. We got laymen in this room, and I tell you what, we may not think that we're much, but with God, you do a whole lot. Amen? Don't ever underestimate what God can do.
And I know, man, God's angry with sin. But listen, you know, the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I've seen teenagers at times, and man, they'll get in trouble, and mom and dad will stand up for the teenager that did wrong. And they think that, you know, my kid would never do anything wrong. How dare you attack my child? Like their child has a halo. And, of course, the halo's being held up by two horns, if you look very carefully. But they say, my child would never do this. And then the parent will stick up for the child, and the child behind the parent's back will make fun of the very mom and dad that stick up for them. And you know what they're doing? They're mocking their parents. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be able to do that to mom and dad, but you won't do that to God. You won't beat the system with God. God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, in chapter 28, Hanani, he gets up after Jeremiah sarcastically had said, well, amen. If that's what's going to happen, amen. He said, we ought not to have that attitude. Boy, we have a fraternity in the Bible. Even Jesus called them a bunch of foxes. You know, and we find John the Baptist and all of them, man, pointing his finger at them and preaching at them. And you find that Hanani, in the middle of all that, gets up and he takes the yoke off. And he's saying, man, it's not going to be as bad as you think it is. And what he did, he got the people to trust in a lie. In Jeremiah 27, God already told Jeremiah they're going to prophesy a lie to them. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. When I think of our nation, I go back to preachers, that prophets that preached about nations. I think of Jeremiah, I think of Isaiah and others, but mainly those two. But I think of Isaiah chapter 5, when the Bible, Isaiah chapter 28, when, listen to this, when the Bible said that his people had made a covenant with death and hell. That's what they had done. They made a covenant with death and hell. Listen to this. And it says, when the overflowing of the scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. When judgment comes, it's not going to cover us. It said, for we have made lies our refuge. They're hiding behind lies. We have a president. We have politicians. I mean, we have it constantly. And I mean, folks, people know that they're lying, but they just keep on lying. And just like it's no big deal. And the Bible says it's like making a covenant with death and hell. It's like making a deal with Satan. It's not going to work out. It's like, you know, Samson lying in the lap of Delilah, or Judas going over trying to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and thinking, man, he's not going to be found out. It's like a man void of understanding and selling his family for one pleasure, one night of the pleasure of sin. And it's like a man selling his own soul to gain the whole world. And the judgment's not right. And there's no way that you can do that and get away with it. And you read in the Scripture, and when I read in Isaiah 28, and he talks about those that made a covenant with death and hell, he talks about those that, you know, it's like one time there was industry and now there's nothing but they're living for indulgence. And, you know, it's a place of intelligence and now it's just a bunch of ignorance. It was a place of comfort and now it's just poverty and wretchedness. It used to be a place of honor and virtue and now it's a place of dishonor and vice. And he talks about they're wearing the crown and it's a crown of pride. He said the glorious beauty is like a fading flower, the refuge of lies. Trusting in the lies. And we watch and we see it. And if we don't say something from the pulpit, who's going to say it? Amen? I'm tired of folks. You know, I know this. When I tell my kids and I tell them something, get on to them, and they say, well, I know Dad said it, but he didn't really mean it. Why would they say that? Because I didn't say it with some meaning behind it. I pull my boys aside and say, now, you don't straighten up. You're moving out. Or I put them aside and I scare the Hades out of them and I say, if you don't straighten up, you're going to be thrown out of this house. I tell you what, they'll think I mean business when I do that. And ladies and gentlemen, when we're preaching, it's not a matter of attacking the people, but bless God, they've got to hear the truth. They've got to hear the truth. I mean, the lies, we see it on the media and the bunch of, I don't know about you, but it makes me so stinking mad every time I turn around. And man, you can't say this, you can't say that. Well, let chips fall where they may. Just preach the book. Amen? I mean, man, we say, I mean, the you can't trust anything stinking news says. And they get up and they talk about this thing with Zimmerman and all this kind of thing. And we watch what they did and how they'll take part of it and they won't give the whole picture. And then the phone call of Zimmerman and what color was he's black. And they make it look like he did it because the guy was black. Same thing they did with Rodney King. They take part of the picture. They won't show Rodney King beating the policeman. They just show part of it. Are you listening to me? I preached this other Sunday at our folks. I said what they're doing is fellas like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are taking advantage of the dear black people in our country. It's time we say that enough is enough. Amen? Bunch of fornicators and wickedness and getting up there, you know, and what they're doing, they're giving falsehood and they're playing politics. Anytime somebody's lying and you address what they're doing, all they do is they'll change the subject or they'll try to attack you. And all these lies, this utopia that we have and how it's all going to be better if we just go ahead and give it a chance to work, why, that's no more of a truth than somebody committing jihad's going to have 72 virgins one day. I mean, men like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates will meet with the president and get up and say, you know, boy, millionaires are behind paying more tax, just trying to cover their hide and sell our country out is what they're doing. Just a bunch of lies. And the Bible said they made lies their refuge. You've got to be careful what you want. You might just get it. By the way, we do what we want to do. Last night when I heard Brother Green get up and preach, the Bible said God would pour water on the thirsty ground, the dry ground. And what he had last night, God's no respecter of persons. We can have that if we want it. But man, we got to do this and that, and we got this we want to spend our money on, and we just don't want to sell all out. That dear man of God getting up and old as he is, and body shaking and crying out and talking about terror sent up by the roots. My soul, man, one day we'll answer to God for what we heard last night. I don't know about you, but man, I said, dear God, show it to me. Anything there. May we empty ourselves that God may do something. One day we'll wish to God that we had. The Bible talks about the day will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they're heaped to themselves teachers, having itching ears. It talks about after their own lust. The Bible said, when's come fighting among wars among you? Why? Because of your own lust. The Bible said that love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen to this. In Psalm 69:22, and I think about it, our country, what they're doing, the whole attitude's happening in churches too, just give people what they want. Give them what they want. That's how you get the vote. Give them what they want. The Bible said in Psalm 69:22, their table, it says, become a snare before them, and that which would have been for welfare, let it become a trap. What happens is, man, as long as I'm getting what I want, I'm happy. You would think right now, the way things are happening in our country, Sunday nights would be packed out, Wednesday nights would be packed out, prayer meetings would be packed out, people would be going soul winning. You'd think, what does it take for us to wake up? And I think many times what's going to happen when we wake up is too late. The damage has been done. God can do anything, but God talks about this thing of a refuge of lies, hide behind, think it's going to be better. And we see every time we turn around, it's happening so quick, confiscating all property and resources in the name of defense. Our president has so much power now, it's unbelievable. The power to arrest and assassinate American citizen without a trial, if considered a terrorist. On the election year, just what, last week, passing a thing where you're not allowed to protest him? Are you listening to me? And then right now they're working on the government taking over the internet. I mean, right in our face, just one after another and one after another. The Bible said, thou makest this people to trust in a lie. And we've heard it so much, we start to believe it. You understand something? Jeremiah made that statement. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and the pestilence. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. There never has been a true prophet that promised deliverance from guilty nation without calling of repentance. Never has been. And here you find that you have these Joel Osteens getting up thinking everything's going to be all right, and let's just bail them out. Kid gets in trouble, let's just bail them out. And my friend, this is not going to be a bailout this time. It's a matter of us getting right with God. I mean, when I look at these who paid the price, I know Brother Rick Sowell passed not long from far from me, and I enjoyed what he preached, and it's funny too. Man, trouble comes, boy, I'm going to run for it. But the truth of the matter is, the scary thing is, it may come to that. It may come a day. I don't agree with old rock singer, but I do agree with some of the things he said, old Ted Nugent.
and talking about, boy, I'll be dead next year. Truth of the matter is, we may not be dead for what he's talking about, but we may be dead for this thing right here. He said, what should we do? Think about it. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Boy, we want the dividing of the Red Sea, but God forbid, don't have Pharaoh's men coming after me. Boy, we like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, I'm not going to bow, but boy, I don't want to be thrown in that fiery furnace, though. Boy, we like Daniel and prayers answered and visions he receives from God. But man, don't throw me in the lion's den. Boy, we like the revivals of the book of Acts and the working of the Holy Spirit. But boy, we don't want to be beaten on our back and thrown into prison someplace. That's like wanting heaven without Calvary or wanting salvation without the cross. And the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, if the average preacher today gets thrown in jail, most average Christians would say, I told you something was wrong with him. You watch it. We must believe that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what is going on, there's no way that you and I can fix it. How? I mean, we're talking about putting your finger in a dam that's busted and it's just flooding. It's happening so fast. By the time you work on something that happened, you realize the news of last week seems like it happened years ago. It's happening so quick. It's like a woman in travail. The closer she gets to the time of the baby, the contractions come closer and closer. Every time we turn around, it's happening so quick you cannot keep up with it. You say, what do? You do the same thing that Noah did. When God said that he was going to destroy the earth, and God said a flood was coming, and Noah went home and talked to his family and looked at those boys, and I mean, man, it's bad. It was never bad like that. But ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed. But oh, knowing the wickedness in his day, and bless God, if he could raise his family in that mess, then you and I can raise our family in that mess too. I don't have a lot of time on this, but the big question some are saying is, with all the stuff going on, I hear young couples saying, well, there's no sense in having any children. I won't raise my children in this mess. Well, what does God tell them to do when they're in Babylonian captivity? Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me show you something. Look what he said to do. Jeremiah chapter 29, if you would. Well, Hanani is dead now. We find that in chapter 29, verse 1, watch this. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah in Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. And by the hand of Eliseah, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent unto Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, just watch this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Nothing's going to happen to America without God allowing it to happen. Don't mean God approves of it. But what did he tell them to do while they're in captivity? Watch this in verse 5. He didn't say, wait till you get out of captivity and go back to Jerusalem. He said, while you're in captivity, build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take your wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Listen, I'm not going to put a crepe on it until it's over. I'm going to pray. And just like David did, he's praying for his son to live. And then finally his son died. He washed himself. Nothing more he could do. He said, I can't bring him back. One day I'll go to be with him. I think we ought to fight all we can. But the truth of the matter is, we may live in a communist country. Who are we better than the dear missionaries that go to Ukraine and all the rest of them? The thing is, we better take serious what he was saying here. And I see my sons, I thank God for them. I got two grand boys. I love them boys. My little grandson, what he'll do, he'll play pickaboo with Pawpaw.
Man, I love it, man. He gets after Sunday. He said, Paw, truck. He loves my truck. He get up in that truck. We'll ride together, go get French fries. I pulled up to Wendy's, and they said, are you a senior citizen? I said, why you ask? You get a free Frosty. I said, I think I am. Man, they gave me a free Frosty, and boy, we'll ride together. I think of that little boy, and I think of my grandkids, and think of my boys, and they see all the mess. And boy, you got to preach on it. You don't want people being discouraged, but they got to see it's coming. But then we'll see it. What do? Do the same thing Noah did. We're just going to trust the Lord. Every day our life is in the hand of God, and we're going to live for the Lord. And God will put a hedge of protection about us, and He can. The truth of the matter is America is on a respirator this morning. It's like riding down a road. You ever see one of them old barns, and boy, they look like they're about ready to collapse? It's just leaning over. Infrastructure's already gone. It's just a matter of time. Don't know how soon it'll be, but eventually it's going to fall. Infrastructure of America has been leaning for a long time. It's amazing it's held up as long as it has. But she's about ready to collapse. And the things that we preach, I don't know about you, but things I preached on 10 years ago are already happening. But we're getting so used to it. God help us. I don't know what's going to happen, but I thank God that there is a God in heaven. And God still answers prayer. This is a scary time we live in, but it's an exciting time because God's still on the throne. And boy, that light that you have when you stand up for Jesus, Shadrach, Meshach may not have seen much, but when everybody else was bowing down to the image, boy, they really stood out. And we stand up for the Lord, you're really going to stand out. And there's some people out there that are desperate and they're wanting hope. And they don't know what to do. And they watch the news, scares them to death. But thank God they can go to a place, a preacher get up and preach the Word of God. We say, boy, there's problems out there. But we can always go to Calvary. We can always go to heaven. We can always go to hope. We don't have to go through this by ourselves. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's bow our heads for prayer if we would. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessed word. God, I believe in my heart that's what you had me to preach today. God, thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord. I believe there's an answer for every problem in our country, our lives, our homes, right in the scriptures. Dear Lord, please help us to know you. Oh, God, without you we're nothing. God, may we not just let this go in one ear and out the other. God, thank you for what we've heard today and the message Brother Buchanan gave. And Lord, I pray, Lord, please help us. God, I thank you for speaking to my heart already. Help us be prepared for what's about ready to take place. God, please have mercy. And Lord, if there's anything in our life that we're overlooking, God, may we take care of business with Thee. God, I pray that you'd have mercy. As the invitation begins, if God spoke to your heart, let's all stand to our feet if we would. You don't know Christ as your Savior. Man, if I were you, I'd run down the aisle and get saved. If you're saved today, I'd say, man, you ought to look at it. I remember years ago hearing those messages and hearing those preachers, and I said, dear God, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but God was working in my heart. What about you, the messages that you've heard already? Man, you ought to say, dear Lord, please help me not forget it. I don't want the devil to take it away from me. Oh, God, may the fire of God burn in my soul. Lord, may I not try to do what I'm doing in the energy of my flesh. Lord God, I need you. And that old thing of saying, boy, we're weak. We ain't got a chance. That's a good situation to be in. Because there you really need God. And God gets the glory when He can come through something like that. And my friend, when we're in that situation, that's a good situation to be in. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. I turned it over to you. Just take the time you need. People, this is your country too.